again, Mother Ormulap is
recording in progress.
Mother Ormulap is a dear disciple of Srila Prabhupada and has been a practitioner of Bhakti Yoga since 1973. Ormulap Mataji is the chair of the Sastric Advisory Council and associate editor of Bhakti Godhead, and travels the world teaching Krishna consciousness. And I know maybe the last few years it hasn't been possible. Mother Ormulap has still been giving classes on Zoom as well, online, so still been preaching and teaching the world about Krishna consciousness. Her Grace has also a PhD in education, was a primary school teacher for 27 years, and also has 19 years of experience with school management. So we are here today with buckets full of gratitude to have the association of such a wonderful and inspiring Vaishnava with Her Grace Ormulap Devi Dasi. So if we can all welcome Mataji with three big Hari Bols. Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So without taking more of your time, Mataji, I'll pass over to you. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. So this is August 22nd, 2021, Birmingham, and this is on Balaram Purnima. So we're going to do a meditation on Balaram. So we're going to meditate on how Balaram is the source of joy, how he's the source of spiritual strength, who he is, how he destroys passion and ignorance, and how he's the original spiritual master. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Bacharane Nivase Sisunivadi Paskatyade Satarane Vanchakalpati Vishchaki Pasandaviyeva Tapati Tam Pavane Vyavaishnaveva Namo Nama Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So first we're going to sing this song from the Das Avatar, which is part of the Gita Govinda of Jayadev Goswami. We're going to sing the verse about Balaram. So if you can keep yourself muted, but if you can please respond. So we're going to do a regular kirtan, call and response, but do please keep yourself muted. Vahasi Vapushi Vishade. Sing. Vahasi Vapushi Vishade. Vasanam jaladabam. Vasanam jaladabam. Vahasi vapusi vishade vasanam jaladabam. Vahasi vapusi vishade vasanam jaladabam. So vahasi means you wear, vapusi, vishade, on your brilliant white body, vasanam, clothes, jaladabham, the color of a fresh blue rain cloud. So on your brilliant white body, you wear clothes, the color of a fresh blue rain cloud. Vahasi vapusi vishade vasanam jaladabham. Halahati bhiti. Halahati bhiti. Halahati bhiti. Militayamunabham. 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 Halahati bhiti militayamunabham. Halahati bhiti militayamunabham. Halahati means to the striking of your plowshare. Bhiti, who shows great fear. Malita happened. Yamuna Bham, the personified river Jamuna. Halahati Bhiti Milita Yamuna Bham. Halahati Bhiti Milita Yamuna Bham. Keshavadvita Haladara Rupa. Jai Jagadisha Re. Jaya Jagadisha Re. Jaya Jagadisha Re. Haladara means, Dara means hold up, and Hala means plow, rupa form. So who is holding up, the form of he who is holding the plow. All right, we can sing the whole thing together now a few times.
Vahasiva puchi vishadeva sanam jaladabam. Halahati bhiti milita yamunabam. Vahasiva puchi vishadeva sanam jaladabam. Halahati bhiti milita yamunabam. Keshavadita haladana rupa. Jai Jagadisha Re. Jai Jagadisha Re. Jai Jagadisha Re.
So kirtans are definitely a little strange. Alright, so the first thing we're going to look at is how Lord Balaram is the source of all joy. This is from the part of his name Rama. Very often in the Bhagavatam, Balaram is simply referred to as Rama. So you'll find many times Rama Krishna. Actually, Krishna in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita says he is the dual compound Ramakrishna, like Ramakrishna. But Balaram is often referred to as Rama. And Srila Prabhupada, in commenting on this, he quotes the Padma Purana, Ramante yogino nante. Nante means end, anante means without end. So the yogis, they have happiness that doesn't end. They take pleasure in unlimited happiness. The happiness in this world is limited. It's limited in time. It ends at a certain point. Yesterday I was eating at my granddaughter's house and she had made some wonderful prasadam with vegetables and herbs from her garden. Fresh picked, organic, right from the garden. And wow, it was incredible pleasure to eat that. But then it was over. And material happiness is limited in quantity. Right? Even while you're enjoying it, it's limited in quantity. It's not boundless happiness. And it's limited in how many of our senses are engaged. I suppose I was looking at the food too, and that was pleasing. But it's limited in every respect. Whereas spiritual happiness is unlimited. It engages all of the spiritual senses. It goes on and on in quality, and it goes on and on in quantity. And we never become satiated. We feel fully satisfied at every moment, but not satiated. Whereas material happiness, one never feels full satisfaction, or maybe for a moment, and then one becomes satiated. So the real yogis take this unlimited happiness, which is Balaram. Krishna explains his happiness in the Bhagavad Gita 6th chapter, text 20 to 23, where he says, in that joyous state, one is situated in boundless transcendental happiness, realized through transcendental senses. This indeed is actual freedom from all miseries arising from material contact. Generally, we try to get free of our miseries by adjusting the external situations that we are in, moving around our furniture, moving to a new house, a new city, getting another job, getting married, becoming renounced, having children, watching the children grow up, getting more money, getting more things, getting rid of people. I got a lot more happiness on Facebook when I unfollowed some difficult people. And we're thinking like that. If I adjust my circumstances, I will be happy. And that's true to some extent. It's, you know, if we cut our finger, we should put a plaster on our finger. It's not like we just sit there watching it bleed. But actual happiness comes from a change in consciousness, not from the circumstances. We will never be able to adjust our external circumstances entirely so that we will always have everything perfectly. Hiranyakashipu tried that. He became the master of the universe, and he was still unhappy. It said he was always taking intoxication. People who take intoxication all the time are very unhappy. And he was yelling at people for no reason, another good sign of unhappiness. So this real freedom from misery comes from an inner change of consciousness. Inner change of consciousness. All right, so Balaram is the source of that inner change of consciousness, that inner joy. He's also the source of spiritual strength. Srila Prabhupada would often quote, and this, Nayam Atma Bala Hina Labhya, that unless we have bala, unless we have strength, we cannot realize the self. We cannot realize Krishna. We cannot gain spiritual enlightenment without strength. That does not mean we have to go and have get some gym membership. I mean, you might want to do that for your health. But it's not that having, you know, a lot of muscles, because then I'm finished. So it's not that having, you know, big muscles and being able to pick up automobiles with one hand, that's the criteria for spiritual advancement. Now, Prabhupada would say this spiritual strength, bala, is what's required. And this comes from Bala Rama. So joy comes from Rama. And Bala is Bala Rama. So what do we mean by spiritual strength? Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna Book Chapter 2, one cannot attain the supreme platform of self-realization without being sufficiently favored by Balaram. Bala does not mean physical strength. One must have the spiritual strength which is enthused by Balaram, infused by Balaram. And this spiritual strength Krishna nicely explains in the Bhagavad Gita Chapter 7, Text 11. Balam balavatam chaham kama raga vivarjitam. Vivarjitam. Jitam means to conquer. One has to have strength. Krishna says, I am the strength of the strong. Balam, balavatam. So the strength of the strong. Chaham, also I am that. Kama, raga, vivarjitam. That is conquered kama and raga. Desire and attachment. That is free of desire and attachment. A detached kind of strength. Now, of course, it's very interesting because our concept of detachment also involves attachment. Like Krishna also says in the seventh chapter, Maya Shakta Mana Partha, at the beginning of the seventh chapter, Maya Shakta Mana Partha, Ashakta, have attachment to me. Fix your mind on me with attachment. And kama, we are meant to desire Krishna. Another word is icha. And in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says the purpose of sadhana bhakti is icha. The purpose is desire. So we want to have desire. We want to have attachment. We want to have desire and attachment for Krishna, for Balaram. That way we become free from selfish desire and attachment. We all know the difference. Just like we have some people in our lives who are nice to us for their own purposes. They have something they want to gain from us. We know that they don't really care about us and our needs and our desires and our welfare. They're using us for some purpose. So they're dealing with us with a desire and an attachment that's selfish on their part. And then we have some people who want to please us and deal with us because they care about us and they care about our happiness. That's a different kind of desire and attachment. So Srila Prabhupada defines spiritual strength as sadhana and shraddha. And I find it interesting, just kind of coincidental, spiritual strength, but it's a good mnemonic, starts with two S's, spiritual strength, and then we can look at sadhana and shraddha. What are those two S's? So first we're going to look at sadhana. So in a lecture on the Bhagavad Gita 240, given in London in 1973, September 13th, Srila Prabhupada talks about how spiritual strength comes from sadhana, comes from practice. Another word for sadhana is abhyasa, or repetition. And here we're showing pictures of the five most potent items of devotional service: chanting the holy name, worshipping the deity, reading the shastras, especially the Bhagavatam, going to holy places or making our own home holy place, and the association of devotees. So these five aspects of these five angas of bhakti, of course any of the 64 angas of bhakti are potent, and any of the 64 angas of bhakti can grant us Krishna prema. Just taking the charanamrita, smelling the incense, following the rath card, any of these can give us Krishna prema. But particularly these five are so potent, Rupa Goswami says, that they can invoke ecstasy even in a neophyte. So that's good news for people like me. And we should be regularly engaging in these, regularly chanting the holy name, regularly worshipping the deity, regularly associating with devotees, regularly studying the Shastra, especially the Bhagavatam, and regularly going to a holy place. If we can't go to a holy place in India, we can go to our local temple. We can make our own home into a holy place. Doing regular sadhana gives us spiritual strength. Now you can say, well, it takes some spiritual strength to do regular sadhana in the first place. That's true. That is definitely true. But we all do regular things, I hope. I hope we all brush our teeth every day. I hope we all eat every day. You know, we have the capacity to have some regular habits. It's not like that's beyond our capacity. I mean, even really tamagun people eat every day. You know, watch their favorite television show every day or something. It's not like we require some huge amount of spiritual strength. I have one devotee I know, Bhadrasena Prabhu in New Zealand. He has started a program called Supercharged Sadhana, which is basically by association of devotees and by journaling and so forth, you can get this habit of good sadhana. I have one friend who is struggling to chant her rounds, and she started listening to a recording of Srila Prabhupada chanting japa, and she chants along with that recording, and that's given her the strength to have regular sadhana. But having regular sadhana gives us spiritual strength. Just like material strength. If you want material strength, you have to exercise your body regularly, right? If you're just a couch potato, you're not going to have material strength. Just the way it works, right? You've got to do regular movement and exercise to have physical strength. And so we have to do regular sadhana to have spiritual strength. Of course, we don't want to do our regular sadhana just as some sort of dry exercise, because we were just reading in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in the Nectar Devotion yesterday how it's the joy in our service that attracts Krishna's favor. When Krishna sees that we're happy in our service, that we're happy to be with him. Again, this analogy of someone who really cares about us. I mean, I naturally open myself up and give myself to people who are happy to be with me, who like being with me. So Krishna wants to see that we like being with him, that we like chanting his name, that we like being in kirtan, that we relish the association of devotees, that we relish the holy places and studying the scripture. And then that softens his already soft heart to give us his favor. Another aspect of spiritual strength is faith, is shraddha. And these are very interconnected. If I do good sadhana, I will get faith. If I have good faith, I will do good sadhana. So Srila Prabhupada, in a lecture on Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.22, given in Vrindavan August 3rd, 1974, said that to be spiritually strong means to have good faith in Krishna and Guru. Faith means that I know that somehow or other, if I follow the instructions of my spiritual master, and if I try to please Krishna, that all my desires will be fulfilled. People have faith in so many things. They have faith in getting an education. They have faith in having a good job. They have faith in having a family, right? They have faith in getting money, that if I do these things, I'll be happy. My desires will be fulfilled. Although everyone knows that that is not, there's not an absolute correlation. You can have a great education and be unfulfilled. You can have a great job and be unfulfilled. You can have a wonderful family and be unfulfilled. You can have tons of money and be unfulfilled. Just read the news headlines any day and you'll see the truth of that. But yet we have faith in those things. Why not have faith in God and his representatives? So this faith, of course, this faith comes, they're very interrelated. The more I do good sadhana, the more I get good, have good faith. The more I have good faith, the more I do good sadhana. Because as I perform my sadhana, I increase in my bhakti and my faith comes, pratyakshavagamam dharmam, my faith comes from experience. My faith comes from experience. So Balaram here is, Balaram is the original guru. He is the guru principle. It's just Chaitanya Srila Prabhupada say that today, that the guru is the representative of Balaram. And therefore it is this guide. And there's this a devotee who's been writing me for a few months asking me to help her with some situation. But she doesn't take any of my advice. You know, after a while you're going to be like, well, I don't know if I want to keep helping you. You know, I'll give her some suggestion. Have you done that? Okay, here's something you could do. It would take you a minute or two a day. Have you done that? Oh, I haven't done that. All right. So we get faith by following Guru. We follow the instructions of Guru. We follow the instructions given in the Shastra. And this way, Balaram gives us this faith. All of our principles of sadhana are originally coming from this Guru principle. Now, Balaram takes pleasure in exhibiting extraordinary strength. This is a picture of Krishna Balaram from New Mayapur, France. And when this picture was taken, I'm not sure what their situation is now, but the temple was very poor, and you see their garlands are made of leaves. But their deities are decorated with so much love, and the deities have clothing for each of the four seasons, so this is their spring outfit, as if they're walking through the spring forest in the spiritual world. So Balaram takes pleasure in this extraordinary strength, and therefore our devotion to him can give us this strength. So who is Balaram? We talked about a little bit how he's the guru principle, but what is his identity? Who is he that he gives us his spiritual strength? So Krishna is the fountainhead of all incarnations. Now this section is from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Balaram is his second body. Lord Sri Krishna, the absolute personality of Godhead, is the primeval Lord, the original form of Godhead. And his first expansion is Sri Balaram. The personality of Godhead can expand himself in innumerable forms. The forms that have unlimited potency are called Swamsa. These two, Krishna and Balaram, are one and the same identity. They differ only in form. Lord Balaram is the first bodily expansion of Krishna, and he assists in Lord Krishna's personal pastimes. Now, of course, although they're identical, they manifest somewhat different personalities because Krishna has unlimited aspects of his personality. And it, you know, like you have a best friend who's yourself, but yet not. Who, you know, like you're very, very best friend. Like sometimes, you know, identical twins, right? They're like that. They're the same, but they're not the same. And what to speak of Krishna and Balaram. And Balaram is a Swamsa expansion of the Lord. And there's no difference in potency between Krishna and Balaram. The only difference is their bodily structure. And again, they have somewhat different nature. As the first expansion of Godhead, Balaram is the chief deity among the first quadruple forms, and he's the foremost assistant of Sri Krishna in his transcendental pastimes. Sankarshan is the original shelter of the Purusha, the supreme male, from whom this world is created and in whom it's dissolved. That Sankarshan is a partial expansion of Balaram. So the god that is worshipped in most of the religions of the world, the creator of the world, the maintainer of the world, is a partial expansion of Balaram. So that is his identity. Now Balaram particularly destroys passion and ignorance. And he destroys passion and ignorance in the form of two demons, Prolambasura and Dainikasura. Now these are real demons, they're real beings. At the same time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that these demons also are metaphors or allegories for various blocks in our spiritual life. So we're going to meditate on these two leelas of Balaram. Of course, Balaram has so many leelas explained in the Bhagavatam and explained in some of the works of the Goswamis. But we're going to be particularly looking at these two leelas, which destroy passion and ignorance. All right, so first we're going to look at Prolambasura, who represents passion. So the boys were playing. And one of the cowherd boys was kept home by his mother for some program. And just like sometimes, you know, we want to go to a festival, but we have to stay home. So one of the cowherd boys had to stay home. And Prolamba took this form of a cowherd, of that cowherd boy. He got into disguise. And the cowherd boys were doing all kinds of play. They're throwing the hard bell flute fruits as if they were balls, and they're dancing. Just today I was reading that from Krishna Das Kaviraj and Govinda Lilamrita, how the cowherd boys sometimes pretend to be Krishna with his parents, and sometimes they pretend to be Krishna's parents. Sometimes they pretend to be the gopis and get all shy. And they act out Krishna's various pastimes. They act sometimes like they're animals, like they're bulls, and that they're deer, and they're frogs, and they're peacocks, and every day they play a new game. So here Prolamba was getting to play with the Lord, but his desire was to hurt the Lord. So we do find that from the beginning of time, there are demons who dress as devotees, wolf in sheep's clothing. I mean, I know in the United States there's about 2,500 crimes committed every year by criminals who dress up as police officers. Because when you appear to be a police officer, then you can engage in a lot more crime. So our passion is like this. Our rajagun is like this. We think that it's enthusiasm for bhakti. We think it's enthusiasm for service. But actually, it's just lust for our own name and fame and our own sense gratification. But it comes in disguise. And it appears, oh yes, you know, we're enjoying Krishna bhakti, like Prolambasura appeared to be playing with the cowherd boys, and we're associating with the devotees, but our real motive is different. And this problem is explained very nicely by Raghunath Das Goswami in his Srimana Shiksha in verse 6 about having ill motives. And many times these ill motives are not even understood by ourselves. Now, many times we think, oh yes, actually, I really do want to serve Krishna, and our motives are different. In this case of Pralambasura, he wasn't disguised to himself. He knew that his motives were nefarious. And we also have people like this. We also have people who come to the society of devotees simply to cause trouble. As Srila Prabhupada writes in one Bhagavatam purport, how he had a godbrother who came to his guru's society simply to gain control over the properties. And interestingly enough, he said that Krishna gave him the properties. He said, but Krishna didn't give him the mission. So Pralamba had this mood of being in disguise and that he was going to come in like a spy and cause trouble to Krishna. And none of the cowherd boys, and not even Balaram, recognized Pralamba. So this is often the case. You know, there's one devotee who wrote about demons coming in disguise as devotees, and he wrote about how we need to go through our Krishna consciousness movement and find all the demons who are in disguise. But generally, Krishna takes care of this. I mean, we find in the Mohini pastime, it was the opposite, that Mohini didn't recognize Rahu, but the sun and moon did. They're like, oh, wait, this is our old enemy. And then Mohini was able to understand there was Rahu and cut off his head. But generally speaking, we should let Krishna take care of these demons. Let Balaram take care of these demons. Otherwise, we risk committing Vaishnava aparad. And the reason for that is that any devotee who's not yet at the platform of prema has some anarthas. Even in bhava, there can be some anarthas, or to speak of below bhava. And one can be a very highly advanced devotee and still have anarthas. It's compared to the smell of camphor in a camphor pot. And it's interesting that Srila Rupa Goswami explains in his Nectar Devotion, in the section on Vibhava Alambana Ashraya, that one of the shelters for ecstatic devotional service is other devotees who are still sadhakas. They still have some anarthas. They're Majjhima devotees. They have love for God. They make friendship with the devotees. They help the innocent. They avoid the ignorant. But they still have some anarthas. They still have some attachments, which are, of course, demoniac. Material attachments are demoniac. And yet, such devotees are the shelter of prema, even for the nichasiddha devotees, even for the pure devotees. So the pure devotees feel enlivened in their Krishna consciousness by hearing about, associating with, practicing devotees who still have anarthas. Therefore, if we try to root out demons dressed as devotees, we're going to see some demoniac qualities in practicing devotees, because there are some demoniac qualities in practicing devotees. And therefore, we may see demons everywhere, and we may engage in Vaishnava aparad and not make any advancement at all. So far better to let Krishna root out the actual demons. Because just like we practicing devotees may have hidden demoniac motives that we don't recognize, or we may even have some that we recognize and we're struggling with, sometimes for years and years and years. But that's different than an out-and-out intentional demon who has come with the aim of destroying Krishna and Krishna's pastimes. And here we find the cowherd boys are playing this game where the losers have to carry the winners on their back. And Balaram's team is playing with Krishna's team. Balaram's team is playing with Krishna's team. So in this case, Krishna's team lost, and they were carrying Balaram's team on their back. So Pralamba was in Krishna's team. Pralamba was in Krishna's team. And therefore, Pralamba was carrying Balaram on his back. And Pralamba had arranged this because he thought, well, let me carry Balaram far away. He said, Krishna is more dangerous. I don't think I can kill Balaram and Krishna if they're together. But if I take Balaram away from Krishna, I have a chance of killing him. So he takes Balaram far away. He actually takes him all the way across the Yamuna. Now, as he's carrying Balaram, he started feeling Balaram to be as heavy as a mountain. And he couldn't have the energy to both carry Balaram and maintain his disguise. He couldn't use his mystic power to maintain his disguise. He was pouring all of his energy into trying to maintain Balaram. And just like sometimes, you know, we're very polite to people we don't like, but if we're really tired, we just don't have the energy to be polite to them anymore. So Pralamba just like, he couldn't put out the energy to have this pretense. And then it's interesting that Balaram didn't know until this point that Pralamba was actually a demon. And he's like, how is this carrier changed in every way? And then, oh, it's actually a demon. Again, it's best to let Krishna and Balaram find out who are actually the demons. Let them deal with it. They're very good at it. And so Balaram started punching him over and over again and killed this terrible demon of passion. So by following the instructions of Guru, Balaram is the original Guru, by having firm faith in Guru, by following the sadhana given to us by Guru, then even our hidden demons will be destroyed. Even the demons we don't see, even our attachments that we don't understand, even our disguised attachments, Balaram will kill them. But we need to cooperate with Balaram. We need to let Balaram ride on our demoniac tendencies so that they can be recognized and eliminated. All right, now on Gopastami, Krishna and Balaram are going through, we're going to another story now, are going through the forest. Now they are taking care of the cows. Wandered through the Vrindavan forest, leaving the marks of their lotus feet. Krishna praising the bees that always stay by Balaram's garden, pretending to be tigers and deers, playing all kinds of games. And when they were tired, Balaram would rest, and Krishna would massage his feet, other boys would fan him and sing, and thus they enjoyed. Then the boys said, we're hungry. We smell some fruits in the Talavan forest, but they're being guarded by a demon. Balaram, Krishna, only you can kill this demon and get us these sweet fruits. So Krishna and Balaram agreed, and they all went to the Talavan forest. Krishna came to the Talavan forest. Balaram shook the trees, so the fruits fell down in anger. Danika and his friends. Danika came and kicked Balaram in the chest, and Balaram grabbed his foot, wheeled him around, and threw him into the trees. And the other friends came and attacked, and Krishna and Balaram threw them all into the trees. This Danika represents ignorance, which Balaram kills as well. This ignorance is when we're lamenting, when we're criticizing ourselves, when we think that everybody's out to get us, when we're lazy. Yes. So again, with faith and with sadhana, faith and with sadhana, depending on Balaram, he will destroy this ignorance. He will bring us to goodness, the platform by which we can actually come to realize the Supreme. And ultimately, he will bring us to pure goodness. He will bring us above even the ignorance, ignorant egoism of goodness. Even in goodness, there's an ignorant egoism. Yes, and he will bring us to transcendence. Now, it's very interesting when Bhaktivinoda explains that Dhenuka represents Rajagun, the mode of passion, and that that Dhenuka represents the mode of ignorance, Tamagun, and that Pralamba represents the mode of passion, Rajagun. What he writes about this, so I'd like to read from Bhaktivinoda, quote, "There are two demons killed by Sri Baladeva, but the contaminations they represent will have to be removed by the devotee's own endeavors. This is one of the secret mysteries of Raj Bhakti. If one endeavors in a very humble mood, Krishna will certainly show his mercy. Then upon the awakening of the mood of Sri Baladev in the devotee's heart, these contaminations will instantly be removed." Let's think about this very carefully. We would all like our contaminations to be instantly removed while we sleep. Krishna, please take away all my contaminations. We go to sleep, we wake up, and they're gone. He does that with some things. We're just chanting Hare Krishna and doing the process of bhakti. And like Ravindasri Prabhu writes about how he was just chanting and all of a sudden he didn't want to smoke cigarettes anymore. And he thought, what is this thing I'm doing that's so powerful? He didn't make any effort to get rid of his cigarette habit. It just disappeared on its own. But these two, to become free of passion, the mode of passion, tamagun and rajagun, mode of passion, ignorance, we have to make an endeavor in a humble mood. I am fallen. I am a rascal. I am a cheater. I have no good qualities. Whatever I have is just the mercy of the Lord. I am originally a soul full of all good qualities, but having fallen into this material atmosphere, now I exhibit only bad qualities. Ananda Chanyujikin Karam Patita Mam Vishame Bhagavan Bhutam. Chinchaya, if you please consider. Please consider. Make me just a little atom of dust at your lotus feet. And in that mood we have faith and we perform our sadhana. Then Balaram appears in our heart, and then instantly all of these anarthas are gone. Now, that's because Balaram is the source of spiritual power, the original spiritual master. In Krishna Book Chapter 2, Prabhupada writes, he's the source of all spiritual power by which one can attain the highest bliss in life. And of course, Lord Balaram also appears as Lord Nityananda. Is Lord Nityananda. So we also get the grace of Balaram by taking part in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. In this mood of Lord Nityananda, who delivers jagais and madais, who's giving mercy to everyone, almost like a madman, going out in the streets, doing Harinam, doing Harinam in London on a Saturday night with all the people who are intoxicated and wanting to just have illicit sex and so forth, and taking the holy name to everyone. And this is also how we get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. It is also said that anyone who sheds a tear in happiness by chanting the name of Gauranga, Lord Nityananda immediately becomes pleased with such a person and allows them to enter into the mood of Vrindavana, at which time all of their problems and material desires are destroyed. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of Balaram, the wielder of the plow, all glories to you. On your brilliant white body you wear garments the color of a fresh blue rain cloud. These garments are colored like the beautiful dark hue of the river Yamuna, who feels great fear due to the striking of your plowshare. Here again are Krishna and Balaram in your Mayapur here in their winter forest outfits. So, we have some time for questions or comments or discussion. If anybody wants to put anything in the chat window or raise their hand.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that amazing and interactive presentation and class, Mother Aramila. We've got two questions so far. If any, just a quick announcement, if you do have any questions, then please do message me directly in the chat room. So Mother Aramila, Mataji, first question is, if Krishna is the Lord, so why didn't he recognized the demon disguised as a devotee or a cowherd boy?
So, of course, Krishna recognized it was Balaram who didn't recognize it first. Because that's part of the pastimes. It's enjoyable. It's enjoyable to make a discovery. It's enjoyable to ferret out the bad guys who look like the good guys. That's pleasurable. And Krishna has his Leela Shakti, his potency, cover his supreme knowledge so that he can enjoy his pastimes. You know, it's, he always knows, but he has it covered. That's his pleasure. Also, frankly, to give Pralamba a chance to be purified. Because you never know. Sometimes even demons, when they disguise themselves as devotees, end up getting some taste for Krishna consciousness and get purified. That also happens. We found that. We found that happening. Very nice question. Very thoughtful. Any other questions?
Yes. Haribol, how do we try and serve Lord Nityananda Prabhu every day?
Do something every day for the benefit of bringing others to Krishna consciousness. Something, some little thing, to help others in their Krishna consciousness. Another devotee, an insect that got into your room, some people you're working with, or something. Something to give mercy to others. Sometimes that can be as simple as being kind to them in order to please Krishna. Generally, we're kind to other people because we want to think well of ourselves, or we want to think, yes, I'm a kind person, or we want something from them, or something like that. But to be kind to others, simply to please Krishna. Like, Krishna says that one who's not envious but who's a kind friend to all living entities is very dear to me. And in the fourth canto, chapter 11, text 13, it says the Lord is very satisfied with his devotee when the devotee greets other people with tolerance, mercy, friendship, and equality. So if we act like that to others in order to please Krishna, and we're in that way trying to be an agent of Krishna's mercy, then Lord Nityananda will be very happy with us. And if we can do it in a big way too. I mean, I'm not saying it has to be a small way.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We have another question here. What are some ways to make our home a holy place, considering the work most of the days and time? Mm. And time is not sometimes on our side.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that question. You set up an altar in your house. It can be very simple. It can be, a shelf somewhere, a table somewhere, a part of your desk, some kind of altar. I was talking to this one man who does a lot of construction and repair work at a temple. He himself is not a devotee, and he does a lot of work in devotees' homes. And he says, I noticed that the most important thing in everyone's home is a shrine, that everybody has a little shrine in their home. And our altar can be as simple as just some pictures, a picture of Srila Prabhupada, a picture of the Panchatattva. If we don't have time to do nice deity worship, better that we don't have deities. We could just have pictures. Because, better to do something that we can maintain. So if you have the time and energy to do deity worship every day, deity worship needs to be done every day if you have deities, then you can also have deities. That also depends on whether or not you're initiated and under the direction of your spiritual master, whether or not you're going to worship deities at home. And then on your little altar every day you can offer, some incense, a flower, some food, some water, and you can chant in front of your altar. You're chanting Hare Krishna anyway. You can chant in front of your altar, and then you keep your altar very clean. Keep your home very clean, very clean, very neat. And then you meditate on your home belonging to the Lord on your altar, that it's their home, that you're a servant, that you're taking care of your home for them. And in that way, your home will become a holy place.
Thank you, Mataji. Got another question here as well. What is the best way to serve Lord Balaram today?
Well, we just did. If you've been with us for the last hour and a half, we just did serve Lord Balaram. We meditated on his identity, we meditated on his qualities, we meditated on his pastimes, so we just did that. And of course, we can cook a special feast for him. If we have that facility, if we have facility, many of us don't have facility to go to a temple today, but if we have that facility, we can do that and join in kirtan with the other devotees. And we can also have good sadhana and work on something for our sadhana and our faith, for our spiritual strength. To do something today that will increase our faith, and to do something today to increase the quality and or quantity of our sadhana. That would be a very good way to serve Lord Balaram. These are such thoughtful questions, really nice.
Got another question here. Prabhu, can we offer Dulsi Manjuris to Lord Balaram?
Yes. Definitely.
Okay. Is it a fact that Rama in the Maha Mantra could mean Balaram?
Yes.
I've got one last question here. Balambrasura took Balaram away because he thought he couldn't have killed Balaram in Krishna's presence, since Krishna is so powerful. Is that right? If so, that's interesting, because Balaram represents strength. as Bala, as the Bala part of his name indicates.
Yes. Yes, it is definitely interesting. The demon severely miscalculated. The demon he didn't really understand what he was doing. he miscalculated there. He thought, I'm going to try to separate Krishna and Balaram, and then I can knock off one at a time, and I'll start with Balaram. And it didn't work out too well for the demon.
I've got a last question, literally just coming. Haribol, please advise what mantra should be enchanted, I think I'll say, every day to make our home a holy place.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mataji. I think I don't want to take too much of your time. But thank you for such an amazing class on this auspicious day. And we hope, we wish that we could have you again sometime in the future for future festivals. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to speak about Lord Balaram and to travel to the UK so easily. And so lovely to hear all your British accents.
Thank you.
Enjoy feeling a little connected.
You're more than welcome to stay for the rest of the program. We do have Aarti and a few announcements and Nrisimha prayers.
Thank you very much. I actually am staying on temple property here, and so I probably will go take my 1 minute walk and go in the temple room and participate locally. So if you'll excuse me, but thank you very much.
Thank you, Mother Ramanashi. Again, thank you so much for the class. It's great.